From KMXT in Kodiak, it's the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Terry Haynes.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by the Stosh and Claudia Anderson Fund, supporting conservation and harvesting of Alaska's wild, sustainable fisheries.
The number of western Alaska-bound chum salmon caught by commercial fishers off the South Alaska Peninsula is small, but significant given the depressed state of the runs. That was the message of a longtime fisheries researcher on Wednesday at a Yukon River Drainage Fisheries Association preseason meeting in Fairbanks. University of Washington professor Dr. Daniel Schindler cited a recent Alaska Department of Fish and Game analysis that estimates about 6% of returning western Alaska-bound chums were intercepted in the June Area M mixed stock commercial salmon fishery during the last two summers.
About 100,000 in 2022 and about 200,000 in 2021 were headed for western Alaska rivers. And the question is, are those big numbers or are those small numbers?
Schindler says that depends on the overall size of the western Alaska chum runs.
If the stock is at really high abundance and escapements are at levels that would saturate the spawning grounds or above the escapement goal, then an additional 6% or losing 6% will have almost no effect on how productive that population is. But when the escapements are very low, as we've seen the last couple of years, then 6% can actually contribute a lot of spawning potential to the population. So 6% means a lot more when the population is severely depressed, as it is now.
Schindler added, that can have a very serious implication for individual stocks.
When stocks get to really low abundance, you run the risk of having local extinctions of small populations of chum and individual tributaries. An additional harvest at low abundance will increase the risk of extinctions.
Schindler also spoke at a February meeting of the Alaska Board of Fisheries when the panel approved a modest reduction in fishing time for the June Area M commercial fishery. A bill introduced last week in the state legislature would temporarily close the Area M fishery from June 10th through the 30th.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard accepted hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their families. AMSEA at amsea.org or 907-747-3287.
Thanks to KUAC's Dan Bross for that last story. This next one from KUCB's Theo Greenlee takes a look at the Senate bill that would close the Area M fishery. Western Alaska chum versus Eastern Aleutian sockeye. That's how many people are framing an Alaska Senate bill that aims to temporarily close Area M, a fishery off the Alaska Peninsula and Eastern Aleutian Islands. The Senate Judiciary Committee met Friday, April 21st, to hear testimony on a bill that would close June commercial salmon fishing there. Supporters of the bill say Area M's commercial fleet intercepts chum and Chinook salmon. They say that's contributed to dismal returns to Bristol Bay and the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. Salmon runs to the Delta have been so low in recent years that entire villages are struggling to catch enough fish for their communities. Democratic Senator Donnie Olson of Golovin sponsored the bill. His staffer, Almeria Alcantara, told the committee that temporarily closing Area M would give Chum and Chinook salmon a better chance of returning to their spawning grounds and could stave off an ecological collapse.
This collapse has led to fishery closures along the rivers and their tributaries for all fishing types, which has had a severe impact to the subsistence and personal use harvests that residents rely on for their cultural, financial, and physical well-being.
But support during the committee meeting was mixed. While dozens of people spoke out in favor of the bill, many also spoke out against it. Charlotte Levy is the Natural Resources Assistant Director for the Aleutians East Borough, which is at the center of Area M. She told the committee the bill would unfairly hurt local fishermen in her region's small fishing communities.
The closure of this fishery essentially seeks to value the lives of some Alaskans over others. These are under 60-foot small boat fleets. These are subsistence users.
The bill is currently in committee with the Alaska Senate. If approved, the bill would still need to find support in the House.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you by Matson, sponsor of Kodiak Community Cleanup Day, with $2,500 in prizes. More information is at matsoncleanupgiveaway.com/Kodiak.
If passed into law, Senate Bill 128 would paint over the top of a Board of Fisheries decision. But should the Alaska legislature be the final judge in every fishery dispute? The tension between Area M fishermen and salmon harvesters in western Alaska is similar to the tension between pollock fishermen and Bering Sea crabbers, or halibut fishermen and bottom trawlers. As warming water temperatures upend the ecosystems of the North Pacific, some species will thrive while other populations crash at the same time and in the same place. Future fishery management is going to be as much about balancing priorities as anything else. The question is how to enable fisheries with healthy stocks without inflicting further harm to struggling stocks that are commingled with them. The Alaska Board of Fisheries was built to make these tough decisions, not the Alaska legislature. It's not fair to ask a Wasilla politician whether or not to close a fishery 900 miles away to benefit a fishery 350 miles away. There's no deliberative public process in the legislature to match that of the Board of Fish. The board heard from nearly 300 people regarding an Area M closure at its last meeting. Legislators hear from office-hopping lobbyists delivering focused messages at committee hearings. That can never replace the hours of testimony from scientists, stakeholders, and members of the public presented to the Board of Fisheries before they vote on proposed actions.
Statewide support of the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from Satellite Technical Services, providing satellite communication solutions for commercial fishermen across the state of Alaska. Information and dealers can be found at satellitewest.com or by calling 206-321-6896.
Alaska's mariculture industry was awarded $49 million in federal funding last year to develop the state's burgeoning kelp market. Now, industry leaders are looking across the Pacific Ocean for inspiration on how to keep the state's kelp scene growing. KMXT's Kirsten Dobroth reports.
Nick Mangini is a kelp farmer and mariculture director for the Southwest Alaska Municipal Conference. He was in South Korea earlier this month touring kelp farms and processing facilities. Asian countries, including South Korea, make up the bulk of the world's kelp market.
Every time I go to a conference or something where it's all mariculture-related business people, whether that be farmers or industry, you kind of get this buzz and everybody gets excited, and it's what keeps us going right now.
Mangini and his colleagues are looking to countries like South Korea for inspiration as Alaska overcomes well-documented hurdles in its own budding industry. For one, the state has a processing gap when it comes to kelp. That's where Mangini says the South Korean farmers have a big advantage.
They bring in the kelp and hand lay it out in a field and let it air dry, where we don't have that climate that would allow that, number one, and the rules through the FDA are just going to be way too stringent to make something like that happen.
Mangini says many kelp farms in South Korea also use seaweed and shellfish cultivation in tandem to maximize their crop.
70% of the species of kelp that's the most similar to what I grow comes straight off a farm and goes straight into an abalone culture to feed the abalone year-round.
The South Korean visit was sponsored by the World Wildlife Fund and included other kelp farmers and processors from North America and Europe. Mangini says connecting with them was just as informative as meeting with the trip's South Korean hosts.
Bouncing ideas off each other, talking about the design of our farms, the way that they process in New England, possibilities for future collaborations with people from the East Coast and the West Coast, people from Canada and Alaska, even into Europe.
Mangini was one of Alaska's first kelp farmers. He put in his application for a plot by Near Island, right near the city of Kodiak, in 2016, and harvested his first crop the year after that. Two other people started out the same year as him. It's taken off since then, and just last year, Alaska kelp farmers harvested 650,000 pounds of seaweed. That's a tiny fraction compared to South Korea's production, but Mangini says Alaska's mariculture industry has the potential to be a leader by volume, just like its finfish fisheries. He says another big step is getting commercial fishermen to see the industry's value as a source of income in between fishing seasons.
I would just hope that we could work together and they could see this as an opportunity for them to use their boats or even, you know, have their own farms in the future.
Mangini says with federal funds on the way, there's real momentum for the industry in the state. He's hopeful lessons learned from the trip will help ease some of the growing pains. In Kodiak, I'm Kirsten Dobrath.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs. For more information, call 1-907-235-4966 or online at alaskaboat.com.